been highlighting a few verses in Romans in chapter 12, and those verses read as follows. Romans 12, it says in verse 2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, and that which is good and acceptable and perfect." And we're going to keep carrying forward in our time, looking at some of those areas where we need to not be conformed to this world, but transformed by a loving and holy God who desires to change and mold and shape us today. Let's give thanks to the Lord, and again, just set our hearts before Him in prayer, and then we're going to open the Word this morning together. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again that, again, as we come before you this morning, again, worshiping a holy God, pray once again, as always, I pray that it would not become learned by rote nor simply routine, but as we open our hearts wide in the depth of our soul, we desire today your work, that your Spirit would be about your purpose, that again, as we open your Word and read today, that you would have things for us, not necessarily new, but reminders of what is true, what is right, what is holy, and what is good, that we might be encouraged to walk in your ways, and that you might abide in us in all things. And again, I just pray this morning that you would open our hearts wide, and that you would again speak to us today. And so we put this time before you, set our hearts before you, and on knee bowed low, just pray in surrender today to you, your life, and all that you are, that you might be Lord of all things. And so again today, we thank you for your presence, and that today we are confident in all that you are and all that you are doing in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, as we were together, not last Sunday, but the one previous, we were looking at this fact that as we come forward to the love and the grace of the Lord Jesus, that love and grace needs to affect every aspect of our lives, not one part, not one portion, but in everything we say and do. God died, as we read together in Corinthians, so that we might no longer live for ourselves, but for Him who died and rose again. And now, as we die to self, we come alive to all that God is. And if we would come alive in that way, we truly need to allow all that needs to be dying to die, and all that needs to be living allowed to live. And as we looked last time, we talked about this fact that as ambassadors of Christ and a God of truth, we should allow truth to permeate every aspect of our lives. As we talk about and live before as children of a loving God, we need to now allow that love of God to permeate every area of our lives. As we've come to know now the grace of God, we need to allow the grace of God to come and affect every part of my being. And so now, as we move forward, we don't just love the people we think ought to be loved. We don't just love the people we think deserve to be loved. We love those whom God has called us to love. Sometimes the undeserving. Sometimes the hard to love. But as we have been loved, so now we love. We talked about truth in every circumstance. And that now, not just in the overt and seen areas of our lives are we truthful, but even in the behind the scenes areas of our lives, because when people begin to see through the cracks and the crevices, as we call ourselves children of a God of truth, what should they see? Truth. And that is in everything, in the day in and day out routines. It's in the things seen, the things unseen, even down as we spoke last time, in the give to Caesar what is Caesar's, as we read together, give to who deserves honor, honor, respect, respect, and even obey the authorities, perhaps when you don't feel like it. And as we read in Peter, it said even serve those masters who seem undeserving and perhaps ruthless at times. It said give, and this is what we've been reading the whole time, give grace perhaps even where you've not received grace. Love where you've not been loved in return. And today, you're going to now give out of what God has given you. And as we allow God to transform us, not be conformed to this world, but transformed, proving what the will of God is, we're going to see many areas change. And this morning, as I've said, we're going to continue picking away at these last chapters in Romans, highlighting some of the areas that God desires to continue transforming our lives. And this morning, we want to highlight, again, nothing new, but a reminder of what's right and true, from selfishness to selflessness. Because today, as we would come before a holy God, when he gets a hold of us, there is a transition from what the world says, that is, God helps those who help themselves. That today, you are here to receive. God says this, no, I've placed you here to give. Just as Abraham in the book of Genesis was blessed to be a blessing. Given so that through him, much might be given. And today, in that same way, God calls us. Romans chapter 12, carrying on from that same verse. Listen again to what it says. By the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. And just as each of us has one body with many members, these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many from one body, and each member belongs to the other, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. He goes on in Romans 12, verse 10, and says this, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves, never lacking zeal. Keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. He goes on as you read and basically says this in Romans 13. He says, listen, you've been called, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal. But listen, it is all summed up in this, Romans 13, 9, by saying you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Basically, if you put your neighbor before yourself, you summarize and in it fulfill the whole law by laying down your desires, by now picking up, looking forward to, and giving for the edification, the building up of your neighbors. And in fact, in those very words, it actually says, listen, Romans 14, verse 7, and we're looking at all these verses as he's highlighting this whole mindset through this section. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. And this morning, the Lord has just been pressing on my heart this, that today we're called to live lives, again, not as takers, but givers. And it was a great reminder to me of as I was listening a short time ago to a radio host on a local radio station, and he had just won the lottery, and it wasn't a very big lottery. It was something like $300 or $400. And so what this radio on-air announcer decided to do is he was going to take call-ins, and he was going to have people tell him what to do with the money. And so people called in. You need to do this, and you need to buy yourself that, and you should buy your wife this, and you should go do this, and you should get that. Then there was one amazing caller that called in. And to give some context on this local radio station, all the while, almost every advertising set, there is a local charity that is about giving sports equipment to children who can't afford it. And this gentleman on the air is actually one of the greatest promoters of this, that people would donate used equipment so that kids who can't afford to play can play. And he talks about it all the time. And then a caller calls in and says, why wouldn't you donate that money to the Kids Can Play campaign? You talk about it all the time. And it was a beautiful moment, right? Because for the next three segments, they'd play a song or two, and then he'd go back and go, of course I'm going to give it to the Kids Can Play thing, right? And it was like he had just woken up to the reality that he spends all his days telling people to give to this thing, and he's been given this amount of money out of nowhere that is this new revelation that he could now support this thing that he's been telling everybody else to support. And so for the next five segments, he'd go, hey, by the way, I've been taking calls and asking what to do with this money I got, and a guy called in and said to give it to us, and that's what I'm going to do. And he was so excited, right? And here's the thing. He for a moment now, realized that he had a gift given to him, not for a new radio, not a new stereo, not a new set of tires, not a new bike, not a new this, not a new that. He had been given a gift that was now best given where? To be given to someone else. There was a purpose. And that purpose was that he might now bless others. And today, in that like manner, the reality is this: as I come into a situation, do I come in with the first knee-jerk reaction when I come into something? Do I come in with the mindset, what can I give? Or do I come in with, what can I get? Now, I grew up with a what can I get mindset. I grew up in a conservative Mennonite background, and we would go to stores and they'd be having an open house serving donuts, and my dad jokingly would say, fill your pockets, kids, this is lunch, right? He would go in, and if there was a freebie, that freebie was to be fully taken advantage of, and we'd laugh about it all the time, right? But no, we don't go with the mindset of what can we get, what can we receive, but what? What can we give? Be devoted to one another, Romans 12, verse 10, in brotherly love, honor one another above yourself. He goes on and says this: share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless, do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. He goes on in Romans 15 and verse 1. Listen to this. Paul writes, now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification, to his building up. We are to go in and see our strength and bear the other's weakness. We go in to see that this morning that there are opportunities to bless those who persecute. There are opportunities to give to those who have little, and opportunities to rejoice with those rejoicing and mourn with those who are mourning. God's consistently and constantly giving that through us much might be given. But as we enter these situations, day in and day out, that's the knee-jerk reaction. Wow, God, what do I have? What are my needs? What can I get? Jesus, what can I give? I'll give my life on behalf of my bride. I will lay down my kingdom so that they might be partakers of it. Today, given fully. And I think, and I've probably used this example before, but I will use it again and again, because I think so often it's a mindset I fall into, in which we find, and in many circles and places, again, people like, and many Christians as they are, pro-life rallies, pro-life picket signs and billboards saying, no abortion, don't do it. Save lives. And yet we'll picket injustice and we'll call out what we see as wrong. And yet here's the reality. How many of us who disagree with abortion, who might stand there and call out abortion, would actually take that young lady into our home and help them cover the cost of raising that child? It's easy to tell someone, save your child. It's easy to tell someone, don't do it. But much more difficult, isn't it, to what? Oh, there's a cost involved. Oh, you're going to have to raise a child, support the child, feed yourself, have work. It's easy to tell them what the moral good is, much, much harder to what? Bear the burden with them. It's easy to call out others' burdens or call out when they've become a burden to us. And yet, the reality is much harder to actually bear the burden with them. And here's God's call this morning. We are a stronger to bear the weakness of those without strength and not just please ourselves. We are to open our homes in hospitality. Open our tears with those who are mourning. Rejoice with those who are rejoicing. That today, God has given us, blessed us, that today we might be vessels who can bless those around us. We need to wake up. But I want you to note something, and that is this, that note as we read, we've all been given, as we just looked at this morning, he says, listen, you've all been given in accordance with your measure of faith. All gifted in God's body, but many members and in many ways. We don't all have the ability to open our home, but there are those who do. We don't all have the ability to open our wallets, but there are those who do. We don't all have the ability to take in a young lady and help them raise someone, but there are those who do. And the question this morning is this, as we turn our gaze from as the conformity to the world, which is selfish, take care of myself, my needs, my sphere, my home, my income, my retirement account, my savings, my interests. And here's God. No, as I laid down my life, as I was selfless to help you, so I have called you now to be transformed to selfless before others. That today he has blessed you that you might be a blessing. That today we might turn. Not from the very things we've gotten from God, but how in those things we might become those who are givers of God. That today we are called, as we read, to bear the weakness of those without strength. I love how Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians, in which he says this in this way. But now finish doing it also, 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 11. Finish doing it also, so that just as there was the readiness to desire it, there may be also the completion of it by your ability. For if the readiness is present, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. For this is not for the ease of others and for your affliction, but by way of equality. And this present time, your abundance being a supply for their need, so that their abundance also may become a supply for your need, that there may be equality. As it is written, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little had no lack. But thanks be to God, who puts the same earnestness on your behalf in the heart of Titus. Isn't that great? That today God is supplying the seed for the sower, for all liberality, and that today, according to what you have, not according to what you do not have, God's called us to give. And perhaps We've looked at some of these passages before, but again, I always find I'm the guy who consistently finds it easy to forget what's so important to remember. And as it may be a timely reminder, if that is all it is, for us to stop as we proceed towards this Christmas season, a time in which we talk about giving, and the thoughts of giving are all around us. And today, to look at that fact, that today we are called, out of all that God has given us, to be sensitive to where He's calling us to invest. Bear the weakness of those without strength, and not just to please ourselves. Timothy, it's written this way. Actually, it's in Galatians, where it's written in chapter 6 in verse 2, bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone, and not in regards to another. Isn't that a great reminder? Bear one another's burdens. I've given you strength today to not just carry the load that I've given you, but to carry the load with others around you. And isn't that it? This is the body, where today God has placed us. And I find the temptation so easy again and again that my Christian walk can become a self-centered one. I read the word. I do devotions. I do the prayers. I do the time. I talk with God. And however rich it is within, again, as we've been speaking through our time in Romans here, it profits little if what's in does not come out. And today, those things, the richness of that relationship, is not brought to full fruition until it comes out into the body. And there are those who are physically strong. We have a young man in our community whom we love, and he is I don't know where he gets his energy from. It is a divine energy, and sometimes it's almost frustrating. And he makes me feel guilty all the time. Do you know why? Anytime he hears of a need in the community, this is him. Okay, let's get 5 people together. Let's move these people. Now, let's go. I'll pick you up Saturday morning, 6 a.m. And you're like, I've got things up Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Okay, 2 p.m., we're in. Let's go. Who's in? And he's ready. And you're like, no. No, I don't have time for this, right? Okay, I got it. We'll do a little exchange here. I'll pick up your kids. They'll do work for me. I'll do a couple hours work for you. Let's go. We're going to see this through, right? And he's like, I don't know how he finds these people. He's got his ears to the ground. If someone needs to move, if someone has something heavy to lift, if someone, and he's always there. And it makes me angry because he's so available. And every time he says, hey, let's do this, it's shame on me because I'm always too busy to jump in, right? He's gifted both in availability and strength. And yes, he is the kind of guy who will pick up your kitchen fridge and walk down the stairs with it by himself. So if no one else joins him, he'll probably move you on his own anyway. Now, he's gifted and has that availability. And you know what? He's a beautiful part of the body. He is. But it's not everybody. And sometimes he doesn't quite understand it when he comes barking around at every tree, and he comes around and we're like, I've got 5 kids and they're going to school and this event and that event and that event. I'm so sorry. I wish I could, and I genuinely do. I'm not in a season where I have the same gift of availability that he does. I'm not. And I rejoice in it, in his gift. And I love the fact that he gives out of that gift wholeheartedly. But I can't always join him in it. There are those who are gifted, again, financially, who have the benefit of giving and it's a praise to the Lord. And there are those who gifted not with time, artistically, musically, with their time, prayerfully. And do you know what? I find there's seasons of life where I've had to humble myself, because not only is it humbling to realize you can't give in the same way they're giving, but someday to have to go to those people and ask for their help, to acknowledge that I have a burden that I can't carry on my own. And that's part of the learning, is not only that we are called to be selfless, not selfish. Not only are we called to go out and in our strength help the weak, in our homes open in hospitality, out of our wealth that God has provided, giving financially. But there's also a place in time where we need to bow ourselves before God and what? Acknowledge the burden. Acknowledge my weakness. Acknowledge my poverty. Acknowledge my inability. Because until I do that, I'll never see God's ability or the ability of God's family. If we're not open to sharing our weakness, we will never see the strength of God's fullness in his body as he intended. You know, God's been showing me that there are times in which I have burdens and I've been praying for them, and God says, this isn't just your burden, and though you may not feel like it this morning, there's a place in which today you can take that burden to others who are gifted in prayer, that they might pray with you. In fact, I've met some amazing people as of late with the ministry of carrying the burden of prayer. Call me anytime, morning or light. Tell me, I'll pray with you. That availability is a gift. That sharing of the load, sharing of the brokenness. People who we've met, tell me anything. And let me tell you first what I've been through, because I've been there, I've been broken, I can identify, and I'm not going to judge you. I want to walk with you. That's a gift. There's the gifts of prayer. There's the gifts of hospitality. And there are times in which I look and I see the homeless and think, wouldn't it be amazing to open a room and invite someone in and let them work on the farm and give them a hand? I would love it. Not always possible, but maybe one day, right? But I need to enter every situation with not what can I get, but what can I give? Today, has God gifted you with the gift of prayer? Perhaps there's people he's putting on your heart to pray for. And as God brings them to mind, pray. Has God blessed you financially? Perhaps in the lottery, or you won the local quilt auction and you're like, wow, what do I do with this amazing quilt? Is it for me? It might be. Or God might be saying, no, I gave that for you to pass on to somebody else. I've blessed you to be a blessing today. Has he given you a burden? Share the load. Because ultimately, what's Jesus say? My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Why? Because God always carries his load. God carries his load. But that's when God abides in me and in us as a body. Never called to live alone as a solo, but as part of this dynamic group called the body of Christ. Today, it is a humbling thing to share the burden. when I am overwhelmed and yet right in God's eyes, because he may well have gifted someone around you to fill that need, to help shoulder that load. But we are closed to it if we are conformed to this world. Because what does the world say? You're strong. You can do it. Don't bother them. Don't tell them. They'll just judge you. They'll just condemn you. That's the world. Here's God, transformed by the renewing of your mind. I am the body of Christ, says the Lord. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. I will help shoulder the load. Today, I will help you. Never leave you nor forsake. And if there's anything we can leave this morning with, perhaps it's the two sides of that coin. One, am I looking around in this world with that lens that says, wow, God, what can I give today? Who can I help? What can I do? How can I encourage? And secondly, do I also look through that lens, Lord, who have you provided in your body today that can help me where I'm weak? Encourage me when I seem to be flailing and floundering. Because today, there are areas where you are strong in order to share and help another's weakness. But there are also areas where today you are weak and God has provided someone who is strong to shoulder that burden with you. None of us are perfect. None have it all. None have it all together. And yet when we unite ourselves as the body of Christ and together come, and remember as we've been reading, putting others before ourselves. Not one of us lives for ourselves. As we come alongside one another and we sum up the law, love your neighbor as yourself. As we come along and look at all those things, today are we humbly walking, looking and listening for his instructions today. He's providing, but we must be watching. Looking and listening for his every direction, his every word, as he puts that lamp before our feet and shines a light unto our path. Today, God knows, and today we are called, as he has given to us, to be those who are givers, not takers, selfless, not selfish. And I hope again, if it is just again a reminder, if anything else, that as we go out these doors this week, that we'd be looking for that very thing. An opportunity to share out of what God has shared with us. And today, that timely reminder that today, if there's a burden, if there's a place, if there's a thing, a situation, that today that burden might not be ours alone to carry, for it is his. And today he may well have provided people in our midst of his body to shoulder that with you. And I think I speak on behalf of all of the leadership of the church and know that we're all here and sensitive to this fact that we're watching and listening and hoping that even if, and that's the hope, that as needs come to light, it may not be within any one of our personal power to shoulder that load. But maybe we can put someone in touch with someone else who is. And that's so great. And I love it when people come and say, hey, do you know anyone who could do some marital counseling? And I say, I'd be awful, but I've got an amazing friend who'd be phenomenal. Do you know what I mean? It's not that I have all the answers, but I know someone who'd be amazing. And today, as we look, God's providing. but I think sometimes in my self-made, self-centered environment, I get caught trying to make myself, store up, and keep for myself what God has given to give. Perhaps today he's going to put his finger on each one of our hearts and show one of those areas, and we might look to give out of what he's given. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that today you have called us as a body, and you have blessed us as a body, that today we might give out of what you've given us, that today we might be sensitive to your spirit, seeing that you give great gifts. And today we can look not around us, but in our own homes, our own households, and see areas where, as we said, it is so easy to call out, be judgmental, talk to people about ways of living and things to live by, and yet fail to bear one another's burden, to come alongside and truly count the cost, walk with them. I pray that this community would be defined by that very thing, an obedient group of members listening to your every word and direction, that as you see and show and shine a light on a need, that we might first look to our own provision that you have provided and see where you maybe have gifted us to be givers. Thank you for things like the shoeboxes, which are an embodiment of that very thing, giving out of what you've given us, and the opportunity to bless others and be a blessing to many, even those we do not know. And I pray that we would not become those who are judgmental and measure ourselves compared to others and their gifts and ability to give, but that today, by what you have given us, that we might find that acceptable gift, and out of that, be true givers according to your grace. Thank you for all of this. In Jesus' name.